It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 130 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray.
Just a few more weeks before we see the launch of X-Wing 2nd Edition, and now that we have conversion kits in hand, we can really dive deep into all this awesome new content that'll be coming out on September 13th.
Yeah, absolutely. Really excited for the launch of 2nd Edition. And today we want to talk about some of those cards you might be overlooking when you first open your conversion kits or new expansions. We're talking about the generic pilots, or technically speaking, the non-limited pilots.
Yeah, we've already dedicated a lot of time to talking about all the awesome named pilots that we've seen in the game. But in today's episode, we're really going to focus in on all those non-limited pilots and see which ones we think are worth your while and which ones you'll probably want to overlook.
All right, let's get right to it. There are many great named pilots in X-Wing 2nd Edition, but unlike the previous edition of X-Wing, 2nd Edition isn't just about the named heroes. It's also about the generic no-named pilots, also known as the non-limited pilots, who will be flying at slightly lower initiative. This is because we've had chassis redone and now ships have cool built-in abilities and their action efficiency isn't really linked to using that talent slot to gain action efficiency. It's just built into the ship.
Yeah, back in first edition, their generics kind of fell out of favor pretty early on in the game's history, and there were a bunch of reasons attributing to that, a lot of which have been addressed in second edition. But for the most part, with a few notable exceptions, you did not see a lot of generic pilots being used in first edition. That's not looking like it's going to be the case in second edition, though, because a lot of the overall changes that have been made, but a lot of other specific changes have been made that help non-limited, aka generic pilots, be more usable and make it more likely that you're going to actually want to include these in your squads.
Yeah, and now this means that some non-limited pilots are going to be much better than others. Certain ship chassis are just going to have, in my opinion, better generic options, whereas other ships, if they don't have powerful ship abilities or linked actions, are going to require more of the abilities from their named pilots to make them effective.
Getting into the specific reasons, though, why non-limited pilots are better off in second edition, there's a few main points we want to talk about. One big change that we saw from first edition into second edition is that in first edition, initiative values, or what they used to be called pilot skills, were very linear when they were dealt out to both the generic and the non-generic ships. So typically you'd see the generic versions of, say, an X-Wing come in with initiative values of 2 or 4, and then when you got higher up in the initiative values, that's when you started to see the named pilots with all the cool abilities. And that was pretty much true across the board for every ship that came out. You'd always see the lower pilot skill or lower initiative ships be the generics, and then the higher ones be the named pilots.
Right, and so now we have a bit more of a blending between limited named pilots and their non-limited generics, where we'll see some really low initiative named pilots at initiative 1, 2, 3, and 4, which means that non-limited pilots at, you know, initiative 3 or 4 can really outmaneuver a lot of ships in the game.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot more overlap of initiative values between the non-limited ships and the named pilots, and we're also seeing a lot of instances where there are, though a little bit more rare, generics that have a higher initiative than a lot of the other named pilots I'm expecting to see out there.
Another trait that makes certain non-limited pilots stand out is their ship having access to great linked actions.
Yeah, and this was an area in first edition where generics really suffered, was in kind of the action economy area. A lot of generics didn't have access to, say, like elite pilot talents, which was where we got a lot of action economy boosts. And you'd basically, if you were buying a generic, yeah, you're paying a few less points compared to a named pilot, but often you were just pretty much limited to the one action you'd get a turn. There were not a lot of great ways to modify them to get extra action economy. Whereas when you had things, you know, higher initiative pilots that could take things like push the limit back in the day, they could double up on actions or get things like a Tawny Mind Link to give them extra action economy. Now in second edition that we have linked actions, it's really based not on having a great named pilot to get your action economy, a lot more focus on the chassis of the ship. So
yeah, what I think is just so exciting about linked actions is it really does level the playing field between the non-limited pilots and the named pilots. I mean, a generic initiative one TIE interceptor is going to have about the same action efficiency as that initiative six Soontir Fell. The only way he has a little bit more action efficiency is if he does line up that bullseye to get that extra focus.
And this game is part of a bigger initiative in second edition where we see a lot more emphasis on not so much the combo mechanics and the upgrade cards you're throwing on there, but more on the skill of piloting ships in X-Wing, judging those distances, so that it puts a lot more emphasis on the skill component, where that means just by virtue of putting more emphasis on the skill, the ships, even across pilots and initiatives, tend to have their power levels balanced out a bit more. And that also feeds into ship abilities, too, because, you know, if a ship has a ship ability, typically all versions of all pilots for that ship share that ship ability. So that really boosts the generics, where not only are they getting that same base chassis, they're also getting the same ship ability that we're seeing on the higher initiative pilots.
Right, and so this, in some cases, is very similar to linked actions. We see ships like that TIE Interceptor or the A-Wing use ship abilities to grant basically more linked action options, or we see ships like the Fang Fighter adding more built-in action efficiency, not through linked actions, but just kind of always having this extra action type effect built into the ship.
And I think the last overall boost we're seeing on a lot of these generic pilots is that a lot of them, particularly whatever the, you know, second tier up generic, so not the lowest generic, but the second one up, typically has the talent slot, which is important for a lot of reasons. The talent slot's especially nice for them now that there's a lot of talents out there that are really cost effective. We see some great slight modification you can get for just 1 point from things like crackshot or things like marksmanship, where even if it's not a huge modification or it has a pretty strict criteria for using those abilities, that's a really inexpensive cost. So even if you're trying to save on the point end, investing 1 point in something is as cheap as it gets in X-Wing, I guess, short of 0 points.
Right. I think usually when you're spending a little bit extra points to get that better non-limited pilot, you're usually doing it for that initiative bump. But it is a nice extra bonus to get that talent slot, because then when you have a few extra points left over at the end of your list building, you can modify that ship even further. And I think that the talent upgrade slot right now, in my opinion, has some of the best, most desirable upgrade cards because they are so moderately priced.
And for the generics that have higher initiative values going up to like 4, having that talent slot gives them, even though they're still probably cheaper than a lot of the named pilots, it lets them have access to abilities that'll make them feel more like a named pilot. So they're going to be able to compete up at those higher initiative levels.
And then the last thing we're really looking at to make non-limited pilots stand out is that point difference between the generic option and their more expensive named option. So if it's just a slight jump up to get those powerful abilities of the named pilots, well, then these ships might not be seen as often. But if it's a significant discount for those cheaper non-limited options, then they become quite desirable for list building.
So we've gone through all the ships available in the 3 conversion kits there. We've broken it down. We tried to pick out about the best 4 ships or so from each faction with regards to the generics, what the best generic options you're going to see there. So we're going to break those down by faction today and go through what cards we think are going to really be worth putting into your squads.
Yeah, and as per tradition, I think we ought to start with the Rebels.
All right, so let's start with the Rebels here, and I guess it seems appropriate. The game is called X-Wing, so we might as well start with the X-Wing Starfighter.
Yeah, and the X-Wing has quite a few non-limited options, but for me, there's really only one that grabs my attention, and that's the Red Squadron Veteran at Initiative 3 for just 43 points.
Yeah, 43 seems about the value that we see a lot of these stock Starfighters coming in there, things like the B-Wing, things like the G-1A. So it's going to be on the same point level as a lot of other generics. So we got to look at the features here that really make it stand out as a generic.
Yeah, I mean, for just a few points, you get bumped up to a higher initiative, Initiative 3, which does give you pretty good repositioning options, particularly with your servo motor S-foils, giving you more maneuverability. And you also gain that talent upgrade slot.
Right, so Initiative 3 is going to be on the higher end of what generics can get. We see them range anywhere from 1 to 4. So you're going to be up there. You're going to be overlapping with a lot of other named pilots. And having both access natively to a barrel roll, as well as with your servo motor S-foils card, having access to a boost, you've got a lot of repositioning options. So having that slightly higher initiative value is really going to benefit you, especially against a lot of other lower initiative generics.
Right, and when you're using those repositioning actions, I also really like the talent upgrade slot there, because I'm a big fan of all those bullseye arc talents that give you some damage boosting modification cards like marksmanship or predator, which, you know, you want to reposition and set up those bullseye arcs. So having that higher initiative allows you to set that up more easily. But honestly, the main reason I like the Red Squadron Veteran is, I mean, it's the best option, in my opinion, of the non-limited options for the X-Wing. But really, I just love the X-Wing right now. I think it's got so many great options, a really good stat line. And so having this be the affordable X-Wing, you know, I can fit four of these with quite a few upgrades into a squad. I think that's really exciting.
Yeah, and honestly, we could probably dedicate a whole episode just to the T-65, maybe a couple, and we will sometime in the future. But yeah, I think this is amongst the non-limited options you have for X-Wings. This seems like the standout choice there. Yeah, you've got the lower initiative ones. You've got the Saz Renegade variant where you get that illicit slot. But I think right now, with the upgrades we have available, I think the Red Squadron Veteran's really your best choice.
All right, moving along to Y-Wings. We have a few notable options here. We have the Gray Squadron Veteran at Initiative 3 for just 34 points, and it also has the Talent upgrade. And we also have the Gold Squadron Bomber for 32 points. And we've included both of these because, honestly, I think the generic Y-Wings are kind of the most exciting of the Y-Wings.
Yeah, in a lot of the same ways we've seen just kind of overall improvements to the X-Wing platform, the Y-Wing platform has gotten a lot better too. In general, it's actually cheaper than Y-Wings were, even generic Y-Wings back in first edition. They've got a lot better options now thanks to that red reload action, makes them even better ordnance carriers than they were. And even though these 2 and 3 values are still kind of the middle to high for generics, having an initiative 3 option for a generic is still really very much on the high end of initiative values. So being able to go up to that Gray Squadron for just a couple extra points, get that talent slot, and have that slightly higher initiative, that's a pretty good option.
Absolutely. And, you know, while that talent upgrade is decent on the Y-Wing, it's not their best upgrade. You know, you have that reload action, so you want to put some munitions or use turrets and a gunner. So both of the generics, the Gray Squadron and the Gold Squadron, have access to the upgrade slots that I really care about when I'm looking at a Y-Wing. You know, munitions, turrets, crew cards. That's what I want to put on my Y-Wing. And at 32 and 34 points, you know, I'm not investing in that named pilot's ability and initiative. I'm saving those points for the upgrade cards I want to put on my Y-Wing.
And the Y-Wings really do fulfill their promise in second edition of being that very adaptable ship. So you've got so many loadout options for these, and they're very inexpensive. You know, 32 points for just that Gold Squadron Bomber. That this is going to be a great option to fill out any Rebel list where you've got that kind of low range of points left to spend. Well, you don't have to put too many points into a Y-Wing to get a pretty durable, pretty effective platform.
Another cheap option for the Rebels is the A-Wing, and I do like both of its generics here. The Green Squadron Pilot at 34 points is getting close to some of the named pilot options for the A-Wing, but I think, want to keep my A-Wings as cheap as possible. It does still have that talent upgrade, and of course, the A-Wings come with the Vectored Thruster ship ability, giving them a linked boost action after any of their other actions.
We're hitting on a lot of the same points here for the A-Wings. Obviously, they fly a little differently. They're a lot faster. They're a lot more aggressive than the Y-Wing or even the X-Wing. But they do still fill in a role here. They're going to be great blocking options, really inexpensive there. You've got that Initiative 1 Phoenix Squadron Pilot for just 30 points there, which looks like probably the best blocking option you're going to have in the Rebels. But if you want to go for a little bit more of an ace feel, you've got that Initiative 3 Green Squadron Pilot loaded out with that talent slot there, so you can get some cool abilities like Predator or Marksmanship on there to give them a little extra help on their damage.
And when with access to both barrel roll and boost and the ability to link them together, you know, this is going to be a great arc dodger or a blocker that can go anywhere. And so that's where I like, you know, the Green Squadron has its arc dodging abilities, but it's not that much more expensive than the Phoenix Pilot. So you could also use it as a blocker against aces and not feel too bad. Or, you know, you go for the dedicated blocker in that Phoenix Squadron Pilot. It's got the great dial and it can still reposition and get modification, meaning it's going to be a really difficult blocker for your opponent to deal with and at a pretty cheap rate.
And in second edition, too, you cannot dismiss ships even with just two attack dice the way you could in first edition. Those are still going to put out some damage over time since we're not seeing so much token stacking anymore.
But my A-Wings will also be carrying proton rockets, so watch out.
All right, so we've talked about, for the Rebels, X-Wings, Y-Wings, A-Wings, a lot of classic original trilogy ships. And I wanted so very much to be able to talk about B-Wings as the fourth ship for what great generics we have out there, because I'm just a classic B-Wing fan. It's my favorite ship in Star Wars lore still after all these years. But honestly, looking at the pilots there, the name pilots or the generics, it's still not quite there for me yet. So unfortunately, I'm not even in a position, as much as I love the B-Wing, to endorse generic B-Wings right now.
Yeah, I'm not a supporter of the B-Wing right now, even though those were my original starting routes, were flying B-Wings. But, you know, one ship I hardly ever fly, now might fly a bit more of, is the E-Wing.
At least it rhymes with B-Wing.
There you go. Just a few letters off.
The E-Wing is very interesting in second edition. So in first edition, we basically saw E-Wings only come out as Cornhorn loaded out. We didn't really see any of the generics or even the other named pilot. But they've changed a lot in second edition, and there's some really interesting features now that make these generics look really appealing.
I mean, the E-Wing in first edition in its initial design was made to be a mirror to the Imperial TIE Defender, your super heavy small fighter. And you know what? In second edition, I think that is a great compliment to say that you're mirroring a TIE Defender, because that is still the case, even more so now in second edition. And it's also cheaper than a Defender.
Yeah, and it's got a lot of great stuff going on. Looking at the Rogue Squadron Escort, who comes in at a whopping initiative 4, which is basically the high end of what you're going to see for generics. And even so, there's not that many generics coming in at initiative 4, so this is pretty exceptional. You've got initiative 4, you've got that talent slot, and you've got that really awesome E-Wing ship ability, Experimental Scanners.
Yeah, so Experimental Scanners grants your E-Wings the ability that when you acquire a target lock, you acquire from range 2 and beyond. So well outside of range 3, you can get a target lock. This is going to feel a lot like long-range scanners from first edition.
Except it's going to feel a little bit better, because long-range scanners in first edition, you couldn't acquire target locks at range 1 to 2. For the experimental scanners on the E-Wing, you're only limited to not acquiring target locks at range 1. So you've got a pretty wide range there to get those target locks.
And so this means you're going to have a target lock definitely when you go in for that opening engagement, which means you're going to be free to take another action on that turn for the opening engagement. And so this is going to be one of the few ships that can come into an opening engagement and have both a target lock and a focus for full proton torpedo modification.
And you still have the Nave Squadron Escort option at initiative 2 for 61 points, just a couple points cheaper. But I really think that Rogue Squadron Escort, not only because it has the coolest name of the generics I've seen so far, But with that talent slot, that initiative 4, I think the real value for the generic is in that Rogue Squadron Escort.
I mean, I do think, you know, with that E-Wing chassis, just 3s all around the board, plus the experimental scanners, that both the Nave Squadron and Rogue Squadron are great generic choices. I just think you're basically always going to pay the 2 extra points to get that Rogue Squadron Escort. At initiative 4, I think that's really important. I mean, this is the Rebels' only initiative 4 non-limited option. And I think it's going to be really stand out.
So these are our top picks for the Rebels generics, the X-Wing, the Y-Wing, the A-Wing, and the E-Wing. Though I do want to throw out an honorable mention. I talked about this in one of my squads in last week's episode, but the Talos Squadron Z95 with the squad leader upgrade. I'm not a huge fan of Z95 so far in second edition, but I really like this combo.
Right. So for just 29 points, you're getting a pretty good coordinate platform. And because it's a Z95, you don't really care if it's not getting actions. If they're shooting the Z95, that's a win in itself. And you get to set up one of your other ships with great action efficiency.
Yeah, I mean, at the worst case, if they really focused down that Talus Squadron right away, they just wasted a lot of effort on what is just a 29-point ship. So your other ships hopefully have to take advantage of that and certainly mount some damage. Hey, Radio TCX listeners, time for a Patreon update. We're ready to announce our August raffle winner. This month, we're going to be giving away a Lando's Millennium Falcon expansion for second edition. Really awesome expansion, cool new model. This one is going to David Keeger from New Orleans. Congratulations, David. As we mentioned in last week's podcast episode, we're making some changes to the Patreon here, so I'd recommend if you're already a supporter of Radio TCX on Patreon, stay a supporter for sure through the end of this month, the month of August. We're going to be sending out the last of our target locks and range rulers there, so if you've been supporting the show for a while, we will send you the next tier up if you've already moved on after a tier. So basically, if you supported us for 2 months, you'll get the 3-month reward. 4 or 5 months, you'll get the 6-month reward. And 7 to 11 months, you'll get that 12-month reward. We're planning on revising all of our Patreon rewards in honor of second edition coming out. So stay tuned for news on that early in September, closer to when the game actually launches. Thank you so much, though, for everyone who's supported us on Patreon. It really means a lot to us, and it enables us to do this show every week. So thank you so much for supporting us. If you do want to become a supporter, go to patreon.com/radiotcx and become a supporter today. And now, back to the cast.
All right, moving along to the Empire. I think the Empire might have the best generic options.
Yeah, I think so too. We see a lot of them on the really high end of initiative there. So clearly, even the generics amongst the Empire go for more of an ace feel. And a lot of these ships are TIE fighters with great repositioning options. So having that higher initiative value is really important. So let's start here by looking at the TIE Interceptor, which is just a pretty strong overall chassis.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is all linked to that ship ability, auto thrusters.
Auto thrusters, of course, enables the TIE Interceptor after it takes any action to link that into a red boost or barrel roll action. So an even improved version of what the A-Wing is capable of doing, having access to barrel roll in addition to boost. Combining that with their already pretty strong array of standard actions, focus, evade, barrel roll, and boost, they can either get double repositioning actions, they can get focus and then link into a repositioning action. They've got a lot of really great options.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the TIE Interceptor is, with that auto thrusters ability, the best arc dodger right now in second edition. And what's great is that's linked to the ship ability. So that means your generic non-limited pilots are all going to be great repositioners.
Yeah, I mean, on the low end here, we've got that Initiative 1 Alpha Squadron pilot for just 34 points. This is a great blocking option. Yeah, it's a little bit more expensive than what the Rebels have for the A-Wing, but you've also got that native 3 attack dice, so this one's going to hit a little bit harder. And you've got that awesome linked action ability, so you're going to be able to, even at a low initiative, put it in some weird places, maybe dodge some arcs, at least make it difficult for your opponent to deal with this threat.
Absolutely. I mean, 34 points, you can just throw one of these into a list, and it'll polish it off nicely. We saw it quite a bit in first edition of people. You know, at their end of their list, they just threw in a random TIE fighter as a blocker distraction ship. I think now you're probably going to be considering that Alpha Squadron pilot as your throw-in cheap blocker that I think is going to add a lot of value.
But the fun doesn't stop there, because if you just pay 6 more points, you get the Saber Squadron Ace coming in at Initiative 4. And this is just 40 points. So that's really on the cheap end there for the potential damage output this thing can do. It's got that high initiative and those awesome repositioning options. So this is going to be almost a named pilot level of repositioning ace coming in at a generic for a really low point cost. And plus you've got that talent slot, which makes it have access to all those really inexpensive talent options that give it slight offensive modification.
Absolutely. If you throw on a talent upgrade onto the Saber Squadron, you're going to be looking at somewhere in the low 40s. You know, compare that to the Red Squadron X-Wing, which is just a great dogfighter. Well, this Saber Squadron Ace is going to be higher in initiative and have all those great repositioning options with auto thrusters. So it's going to dance all around that red squadron. And, you know, if you don't go for that talent upgrade, 40 points is a pretty unique position to be at. Because that means you can fit exactly 5 of these into a 200-point list.
And seeing the point spread for a lot of those higher initiative ships, if you had 5 of these in a squad, you're probably beating the initiative of at least a couple of your opponent's ships. And on top of that, you've got a pretty good offensive output, even though they have, you know, not the most durable platform there with just 3 hit points. You're probably going to lay down some damage and take some ships out before you lose too many of these.
I mean, I think what I would do is take 1 Alpha Squadron pilot and then 4 Saber Squadrons with a cheap talent upgrade, maybe like Crackshot. And then I think you have quite an intimidating 5-ship squad. You can take down whatever their high initiative ship is, focus that down, and then let your initiative 4 interceptors dance around the map.
Yeah, TIE interceptors really depend on being nimble. They don't have a lot of hit points, so they want to arc dodge. They want to come in quick and hit hard. On the opposite end, though, if you want to go for something a little bit more durable, but with some of the same perks we're seeing on the Interceptor, you've got that TIE Defender option there, which we talked about a lot last week when we were talking about your TIE Defender list, Carson. But again, here you have, albeit a lot more expensive than the TIE Interceptor, an Initiative 4 generic that's going to be a really substantial threat to your opponent.
Yeah, and while I really like the named TIE Defender options, the non-limited options are at a very significant discount. The Onyx Squadron Ace coming in at Initiative 4, like a lot of the named Defenders, is, you know, 8 points cheaper than its competition, Countess Rad.
Well, and on top of it being cheaper, you're getting a lot of the same perks that you're already getting from those more expensive named pilots, right? You've already got an awesome action bar. You've got all 5 of the standard actions, focus, target, lock, evade, boost, and barrel roll. On top of that, you've got a really high initiative. You've got 7 hit points, and you've got 3 attack dice and 3 defense dice. So this is a really tanky platform that if you can't quite fit one of those really expensive named TIE Defender pilots, going down to the generic, you're not really losing out on that much.
I mean, you're not compromising on initiative. You're not losing a talent upgrade. It's just the pilot ability. And, you know, they are good pilot abilities, the named TIE Defenders have, but they're expensive pilot abilities.
And you're still getting that full throttle ship ability, which has got some amazing defensive potential there. When you perform those quicker maneuvers, 3, 4, or 5 speed maneuvers, you get to take that free evade action, which means you can stack a normal focus action with that, which gives you some really crazy defense, especially for how limited action economy is in second edition so far. Yeah, you could go the Delta Squadron pilot route, go for the lower initiative for 6 points cheaper. But honestly, at that point, 72 versus 78, I'm going to probably find a way to get back up to that Onyx Squadron Ace, if only for that higher initiative value.
I absolutely agree, but I think you really aren't going too wrong when you do take the Delta. You do still get all that action efficiency, the great stat line, but I think the jump from 1 to 4, just like we saw with the E-Wing, that is a huge jump. You're beating out all the other generics when you jump from 1 to 4.
So the TIE Interceptors are AC arc-dodging generic. The TIE Defenders are tanky, can take a lot of hits generic. We've also got the TIE Advanced V1, formerly known as the TIE Advanced Prototype. We've got this one on here. We've got the generic Inquisitor coming in at 40 points. Now, Carson, the Saber Squadron Ace from the TIE Interceptor and the Inquisitor both come in at 40 points. You got 1 more hit point on the Inquisitor, but you're doing a lot less damage with just 2 attack dice. Why would I want to take the Inquisitor?
Oh, it gets worse. You're also at Initiative 3 versus Initiative 4. But I would still consider that Inquisitor because here we have our only non-limited force user.
Yeah, this is an interesting position to be. We've seen the value so far in just a couple games I've played of that force ability, right? Having a force rating, even a force rating of 1, gives you really good action efficiency there. So since these ships normally are only taking 1 action, having access to that 1 force point so you can change offensively or defensively a result, that's going to matter a lot. And at just 40 points, you're not really investing that many points into the Inquisitor, and I think you're going to get a lot of survivability out of this thing thanks to that force value.
I mean, you don't quite have the action efficiency of that TIE Interceptor in regards to repositioning, but you do still have pretty good action efficiency. You got linked actions, barrel roll, and boost into focus, plus a force charge. I think that's pretty exciting. You know, you can really go defensive, take that evade action, and use your force charge also on defense if you need it, which is, you know, comparable to what the TIE Defenders can do with their green dice modification. So I think this is a pretty unique option, and it does also have access to the force upgrade cards. So if you want a card like Sense to see your opponent's dial, well, that's not really a great on your named pilots with really high initiative, but on a lower initiative Inquisitor that you're not spending too many points on, I do like Sense a lot more.
Yeah, I think the Sense variant's good. I guess maybe the only issue I have with the Force Talent slot on this thing is right now we have a very limited number of Force Talent options. So really, Sense is the best one. The other ones are either underwhelming or really expensive. Probably wouldn't want to put them on an Inquisitor. But that Sense option, even just as like, you know, a pseudo blocker, a slightly more expensive blocker that can look at your opponent's dial, that's a pretty strong value.
Absolutely. Now, one last ship I want to talk about. And I actually think the generic on this is pretty exciting compared to the named ones, is the TIE Phantom, particularly Sigma Squadron Ace.
The TIE Phantom's seen some, again, pretty substantial changes moving from first edition to second edition. It's only got 3 attack dice now instead of 4. It does tend to be quite a bit cheaper, but it no longer has access to that first edition upgrade advanced cloaking device, which was on higher initiative ships pretty impressive, being able to cloak after you attacked. You're seeing some similar abilities kind of get merged, though, from first edition into the second edition ship ability on the TIE Phantom.
Yeah, so the TIE Phantoms all include the Stygium Array ship ability, which reads, after you decloak, you may perform an evade action. At the start of the end phase, you may spend 1 evade token to gain 1 cloak token. So the strategy on how this works is, of course, you're going to cloak on that turn before combat so that you get the repositioning of the decloak. But now you're going to have an evade token going into that first turn of combat, which is great defensive modification, and you still get whatever action you can take. So you can take a focus and have pretty good mods there. And then if your opponent doesn't target you or your green dice roll great and you don't spend that evade token, well, then you can cloak up again.
And at just 46 points, that Sigma Squadron Ace has an initiative value of 4, which is on the higher end there. It's up there with that Saber Squadron TIE Interceptor. You're paying a few more points than the Interceptor, but I think once you're able to master the TIE Phantom, assuming you're able to play it right, not expose yourself too much there to too much damage, I think there's going to be a lot more value, I think, in the TIE Phantom over that TIE Interceptor, if you can play it right. It's a little bit trickier.
And, you know, the TIE Phantom's not going to be able to dodge all the attacks thrown at it the whole game like it would be able to in first edition sometimes. So they are going to die. And so that's where I like that generic Phantom. I don't want to spend as many points for the named pilots, where I still get, you know, pretty good damage output with that Sigma Squadron Ace. I've got initiative 4, so I, you know, could leverage that decloak plus the TIE Phantom's barrel roll during my activation to really juke out some opponents. Yeah, I think this is an interesting one and one I definitely want to keep an eye on because I think it's got potential.
Pretty solid choices here, though, for generics from the Empire. You've got that TIE Interceptor, really great value. Got that TIE Defender, also a great value, more expensive, but really tanky. And then for those more interesting skill play options, you've got that TIE Advanced V1 and that TIE Phantom there, where I think if you're able to master these ships, having that cheaper generic, you're really going to see a lot of value pay off from that.
I think when we look at these Imperial generics that are standing out, I think we do get to see a bit of the faction identity here. We see 3 initiative 4 non-limited options. We have 1 in both Scum and Rebels. And then we also have the only non-limited force user in that Inquisitor. So really, these generics, these high initiative generics on the Empire, are really standing out.
All right, let's close out this conversation by talking about everyone's favorite faction, Scum and Villainy.
Absolutely. Can't argue there. And I know you're in quite a bit of agreement up when we talk about that Fang Fighter in regards to the generic viability.
Oh, yeah, this seems like a great place to start. So we've already talked a little bit about the Skull Squadron there. I've been enjoying that ship a lot with the threat cards. But that Skull Squadron pilot comes in at 50 points, So it's going to be on the higher end for these AC. It's in the same category as the TIE Interceptor, right? AC ships that don't have a whole lot of hit points. But you are getting initiative 4 on the Skull Squadron. You get that talent slot, and you get that awesome Concordia face-off ship ability where when you're in your opponent's arc at range 1, you get to change one of your defense results into an evade.
Absolutely. And here, I mean, I like Skull Squadron Pilot better than that Interceptor because of that survivability. You have that extra hit point plus Concordia face-off. Means you can have focus and evade at range 1, which is when you need that evade the most.
And we've been talking about how talent slots are great on these generics. It's especially great here on the Fang because you have access to that scum-only talent upgrade Fearless, where you can basically do the opposite of Concordia face-off. If you're in your opponent's arc at range 1 and they're in yours, you can change one of your red dice results into a hit. So having that kind of offensive modification without having to spend a token is really strong.
I mean, and that's exactly where these Fang fighters want to be, right at range 1. So use that Fearless, use that Concordia face-off, you know, and you can barrel roll or boost to get to range 1, and you can still link into a focus, which is pretty great modification. Feels a bit like I have a Tawny Mind Link. I can still boost and still have a focus.
And while Skull Squadron Pilot's my clear favorite here for the Fang generics, there's an honorable mention to be made for Zealous Recruit at 44 points. This seems like a really effective scum blocker that can still lay out damage, kind of like the TIE Interceptor, where you can, you know, boost into position, get the focus token you need, block your opponent, and still fire some damage at some other ships.
I mean, once again, that jump between initiative 1 to initiative 4 is huge, and often you are going to pay the 6 points for that. But I do really enjoy having the option for that cheaper Zealous Recruit. Still has the great linked actions at a much more affordable price. Still has that Concordia face-off. I think it's a very solid ship at 44 points.
Another scum ship I've already been talking about, we've already been talking about on the show, the Fire Spray, actually has a pretty solid generic, too. A lot of my attention's been focused on Boba Fett, but the Bounty Hunter generic at 66 points is great, if only because that Fire Spray platform is so strong.
I mean, this is kind of the same mindset I have when I think about the TIE Defender. You know, yes, the named options are great, but when it's an expensive ship, sometimes you just want that chassis and you want to cut down on whatever points you can. The Fire Spray has a great selection of upgrades, and it's also got a great selection of titles, which allow you to reconfigure your Fire Spray to suit different play styles. And so I think, you know, saving points by going with the generic Bounty Hunter means you can use those points in upgrading your Fire Spray.
Yeah, and even though we're dropping in at just initiative 2, which isn't amazing, that boost action you'll still get a lot of value out of because you've got those dual arcs there. So even though you're moving probably a lot earlier than your opposing ship sometimes, it's still not too hard to keep them in those firing arcs. And you're still laying out 3 red dice there, which even with just a little bit of modification is going to put out some damage in second edition. And obviously, the strongest feature I think we have here for the Fire Spray is that it does have access to Perceptive Copilot, double up those focus tokens, so you know I'm down.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, a few things I particularly like about the Bounty Hunter is I think you're going to be using that Reinforce action, which is really great more often. I think when you have up at the higher initiative, you're going to want to lean more on that boost to keep your Fire Spray alive. But the Reinforce option is really a great choice for the Fire Spray.
Yeah, you're going to bet a little bit more on those red dice turning up hits without too much token modification, but this is going to be a pretty annoying force. Even if you get a couple good rolls, your opponent's not going to be able to lay down a lot of damage on the Bounty Hunter, and that's going to get pretty annoying.
Another thing is that initiative doesn't really matter in the system phase, and so when you're using bombs on the Fire Spray, you don't need to spend the extra points for the initiative. I mean, yeah, you could get Emon and have more fun with bombing, but I think the Fire Spray is still a pretty good bomber.
Now, the Fang Fighter and the Fire Spray are both your second edition Wave 1 ships there, but we'll dive a little bit deeper into those conversion kits here for these next two. The G1A actually kind of surprised me, because this ship was a little underwhelming, especially at the time it came in first edition, but there's some pretty cool features on it in second edition.
I didn't think I was going to be that impressed by the Gan Vinesman, because it doesn't really hit any of our criteria for what normally makes our generic ship stand out. You know, it doesn't have linked actions. It's at initiative 1, but when we're looking at generics just at a rate, this is really good. In the same way we kind of mentioned that Tala as a great way to get a coordinate action, the Gand Findsman has a white jam action, which for its rate, I think makes it a really good control option. You know, just 44 points, getting that white jam, I think is pretty exciting.
Yeah, and for those turns where you can't get that jam action to go off, even just a focus token paired up with three red dice is going to put some damage out. And this thing's got a very durable chassis there with five hull points and four shields. It's going to take a lot of damage before this goes down, even with just one agility die.
Now, I mean, it is pretty comparable to the TIE Reaper, also being a medium base, but it does have the extra hit points, which, you know, with your control ship, I think does matter. And of course, when you compare it to a B-Wing for about the same price point, you know, a three attack dice, one agility ship. Well, of course, we have the jam action. And, you know, we have an extra hit point. I think the B-Wing just really falls flat when we're looking at our low agility ships. Yeah, the Gand Findsman's a medium base with a little clunkier to move around. But in some ways, that's a bonus as it can move faster.
And lastly here for Scum, we wanted to talk about the Star Viper, which was one of those ships I always wanted to work with in first edition, but it never quite really hit its stride there. In second edition, it's got some interesting options. It's learned a lot from all the upgrades that it saw in first edition, so it's got that really cool ship ability where your barrel rolls are all one bank templates instead of one straight templates. And the generics here have some pretty interesting options that in some ways overlap with the Fang Fighter, but in other ways kind of stand out on their own.
I mean, the Star Viper in general is very comparable to the Fang Fighter. Got a bit more hit points, but it's going to be much more of a arc dodger, whereas that Fang is going to rely on the Concordia face-off to get it through difficult moments. Now, the Black Sun Assassin coming at 48 points is a little bit cheaper than the Skull Squadron Pilot, but it's only at Initiative 3, which, you know, as an arc dodger does hurt it a bit. But it does still have access to the Micro Thrusters ability, which does give it superior repositioning than the Fang Fighter.
Yep.
And it's got, you know, the same linked actions.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, having access to those barrel rolls or being required to use barrel rolls that with the bank template instead of the straight template kind of give you the equivalent to almost two repositioning actions, because you're not only shifting position, you're really changing the angle of your firing arc for a single action. So that's a great option to have there. And pair that up with a talent slot where you can get upgrades like Predator and get some offensive modification, just single rerolls in that bullseye firing arc. That's a pretty effective way to put out some damage.
Absolutely, Tim. I particularly like Predator there. You know, at just 2 points, that bumps it up to 50 points, which means I can fit four of these Black Sun Assassins in. And I think Predator works particularly well when you're using those Micro Thruster barrel rolls. I think when you get in close, it's going to be really easy to dodge arc and set up bullseye firing arcs. So you can have a focus and a reroll at range one. I think that's pretty good.
Pretty strong lineup of generics there for Scum. Fang Fighters look awesome. Fire Sprays, G1As, and Star Vipers also pulling their weight. I think these are going to be great options, even across all these factions that we've talked about here. A lot of great non-limited options to include in your squads when those point totals start to get too high on your other ships. You know, if you're investing a lot of points into an ace like Luke Skywalker or a really powerful named pilot like Asajj Ventress, you're going to need these cheaper ships to fill in those gaps in your list. And I think so far from what I've seen in second edition, you know, having more strong ship chassis out rather than just a very small number of those ace ships, I think having the more ship platforms out there is going to be the better value, at least when the game launches.
Absolutely. Now, Tim, before we leave, which generic pilot are you most excited about?
You know, I think at this point I'm still sticking with that Fang Fighter there just because I think they're so fun to fly. But now that we've talked about it some more, I am starting to get interested in this TIE Phantom here. I feel like it takes some work to crack that code there, but I think once you figure out how to fly those things, you're going to get a crazy amount of value.
Oh man, I was going to say this Sigma Squadron Ace. So I guess I'll have to say that I think the Rogue Squadron Escort was a good find for me today. I'm pretty excited about launching some Initiative 4 Proton Torpedoes out of that thing.
Yeah, I think it's time to get back to some more list building. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please go into iTunes and leave us a 5-star review along with a comment saying what you like about the podcast and why others would be interested in listening. If you left your review a while ago, it would be really awesome if you guys could go back onto iTunes, write a new review there, letting people know that you still like the show and why they should continue to listen.
You can follow the show on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you like the podcast, please go on to Facebook.com/Radio TCX and like our Facebook page.
And if you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to Patreon.com/Radio TCX and becoming a supporter of the show today. It really means a lot to us. And thank you to all the listeners who have already supported the show.
Again, guys, thank you so much, and we will talk to you next week. It's a trap!
All right, I do have a shout-out for Tim Dugan, who just shipped me some second edition stuff from Gen Con. Just arrived, and I am very excited to dig into those conversion kits and start playing some second edition. So thank you, Tim.
Well, you are welcome.
You're like Santa in August.
Hopefully some point in the future we'll be able to meet up and actually play together.
Yeah, absolutely.